introduce our speaker this morning. He was a last-minute substitute. He said to me, we were chatting before the service, and he'd been around the new building. He said, Pastor, he said, everything changes now. He said, I feel like we've gone from the championship to the premiership. I said, yeah, come on. And he said, you know what that means? He said, it means that we've all got to up our game. I said, yeah, that's right, especially if we want to keep playing. It's true. We've got to take it up another level. But keeping the analogy going, I was supposed to speak this morning. I started working on my sermon, and it was all geared up for the new build called Welcome Home. And I was like, I cannot bring myself to prepare another message after the week I've had. And so he was my last minute super sub. And so will you welcome our very resident Pastor Enzo Calamita, my helper in time of need. I appreciate you, my friend. Yeah, you come close second. You know, Enzo's a real man of God. He's actually had 6 months of taking it easy. And most of you know he does Wednesday night service for us and he does our teaching program. But by not having the building, he's had a fairly easy 6 months. And so we thought we'd make him work this morning. And so will you show your love for him and give him lots of encouragement as he preaches this morning? Love you, my friend.
Happy September. We prophesy another month of hot weather. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. Yes, the last 6 months, the intensive prayer and fasting has really taken its toll on me. But I've made it. I think I thought I'd read fasting in the Bible, but I think I read feasting by accident, so I'm sorry. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn to Hebrews chapter 12? Hebrews chapter 12, I want to read there verse 1 and 2. And Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I ask that by your Spirit, you will speak into every heart, into every life. Holy Spirit, thank you that you have a word in season for us this morning. Lord, may we hear it not just with natural ears, but with spiritual ears. Lord, for you said, let those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we pray for your transforming power. I pray for your enabling and encouragement on our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews is a powerful book of scripture. These particular verses are some of my favorites. It says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded, everyone say surrounded, by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares and entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Amen? This morning I believe God wants to speak to us about running the race of faith. How many of you know that when we were called to follow Jesus, we were not called to a picnic? And we were not called to a tea party. Some people say, but you're reading from the book of Hebrews. We must be called to a tea party because it's Hebrews. Okay, now forget it. All right. We're called to a race. We're called to a fight. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life for which you've been called. And the book of Hebrews, the whole book, is an encouragement to us as believers not to give up on our race. Not to turn away from what we have received in the Lord, but to keep going. You know, and having said that the Christian life is a race, I would add to that, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And the entirety of the book of Hebrews, as one of the most powerful and encouraging books in the whole of Scripture, is about giving us that vitality, that energy, that dynamic to lift our hearts above discouragement, to lift our hearts above weariness, to lift our hearts above spiritual tiredness, to revitalize us that we might run the race that Jesus has set for our lives, for my life and your life. The verse that I just read starts with the word therefore. Now, here is a good principle of biblical interpretation that we can all use. When you see therefore in the Bible, you want to check what it's there for. And to appreciate the power of what the writer is saying here, you have to go to the previous chapter, which is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 begins in verse 1 with that definition of the operation of faith, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then the entirety of the chapter is example after example of men and women who ran the race in their generation and ran it successfully. Men and women who went through trials and difficulties and temptations, who in the face of circumstances that seemed to say that God wasn't with them, persevered to believe in the promise of God, and in doing so, saw the power of God manifested in their generation. And so the writer says, see all these examples? He says, remember that these guys now are cheering you on in your race. He talks about the cloud of witnesses. This has nothing to do with iCloud. It has nothing to do with the cloud of the World Wide Web. However, if we as believers start downloading a bit more from that cloud, we'll be on another level. Amen? The cloud of witnesses. The picture here is of us running in an Olympic stadium. And all these guys that have gone before us, men like Moses and Elijah and Noah and Joshua and the apostles and the great men and women of faith throughout the centuries, are cheering us on and they're saying, remember that God kept his promise to us and he'll keep his promise to you. God never let any of us down. It seemed like everything was against us. Noah would say, you know, when God told me to build the ark, I'd never seen rain. But I acted on that word that was the evidence of things not seen. And people were laughing at me as I was building that ark. But I want to tell you, when it started to rain, the people stopped laughing. And they're in a prophetic sense there. If you could hear their voices in the spirit, they are encouraging us not to give up. They are encouraging us not to allow discouragement and weariness to overtake our souls, but to remember that they are witnesses. They are evidence of what God can do before, today, and tomorrow, and what he can do in our lives right now. And it says we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. Can you hear them cheering you on? That's the testimony of Scripture. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. This is the amazing thing, brothers and sisters, that we as the church are the only organization that doesn't lose members by death. You hear me? And so the church is not just the church on the earth, it's also this assembly in heaven that makes one church. Okay, you can't bury a Christian. Did you know that? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. There is no death for a Christian. All that happens is your body gets put to the ground and your spirit, your soul, goes immediately into the presence of Jesus. And then later, God gives you your body back as well, a new one. Amen. Double blessing. And so, what's the exhortation? What's the encouragement here in the scripture? First of all, he says, lay aside every weight and every sin. In other words, if the picture here is of a race, you don't try and run a race with a ball and chain around your foot. He says we should lay aside everything that's holding us back. Every weight and every sin. You know, there are things in our life that are weights that aren't necessarily sin. But we should get rid of them so that we can race. The picture here, figuratively speaking, is of stripping down to the bare essentials so we can run the race without hindrance. You know, one of the things that I believe hinders us more than anything as believers, once we come to the Lord, is if we don't have an understanding of the power of the grace of God, how can we ever live this life? You need to know that your faith and your salvation isn't dependent upon you, it's dependent upon Him. We preach a gospel of salvation by faith through grace, but then afterwards, what many people hear is a salvation by works. And you cannot run this race in your own strength. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so we must lay aside the weight of wrong thinking, of mindsets that frustrate the grace of God in our life. And we have to throw ourselves every day on the grace of God and realize that to run this race, He has empowered us, He has enabled us. He started the race and He will finish the race. The Apostle Paul put it this way when he wrote to the church at Philippi. He said, He who has begun a good work in you, he who has begun the race will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The author here echoes exactly the same thing. He says, Jesus is the author, the initiator, the pioneer of our faith, and the finisher and perfecter of our faith. So, hey, everyone say relax. You know, if my salvation depended upon me, what assurance do I have? Honestly. If it depends on me alone, if it depends on how good a Christian I am, how well I do, that changes like the weather. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep have an inborn tendency to go astray. A sheep can only get lost. If it's all about me, I'm finished, but it's about Him. Martin Luther said, when I look at myself, I don't know how I can be saved. He says, but when I look at Christ, I don't know how I can be lost. And Jesus, speaking in that context of the sheep, says, everyone that the Father has given to me will come to me. No one will be able to snatch them out of my hand, and I will raise them up at the last day. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And so we have to realize that when we came to Christ, although we made a response, it was the Holy Spirit's prevenient work. It was His prevenient grace that opened our hearts to believe in the first place. And just as it was His grace that did it and initiated it, it will be His grace that finishes it. All He asks you and I to do is cooperate in the process. And that's why when you read about salvation in the scripture, it's referred to as a complete package that's done, that's sealed. Paul says, those He justified, He also glorified. If God is for us, who can be against us? What can separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation and famine and sword and nakedness and all these things? He says, absolutely not. We are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. That's the gospel of grace. It's a gospel of freedom. So when you carry the weight of legalism and regret and guilt with you, you can't run your race. The scripture says, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has set you free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'm saying this morning because some of us, even though we call the gospel good news, it's not good news in our lives at the moment because we're struggling with feelings of condemnation, with feelings of regret, with feelings that we're a bad Christian, if you can refer to such a thing. And we have to take our eyes off ourselves and look at Christ. To run this race, it says we must look not to ourselves, we must look unto Jesus. Amen. The Savior. Whatever you're going through, you remember when Jesus came to Peter and he said, Peter, you know you're going to go through it. Some of you are really going through it at the moment. And Peter said, what do you mean? He said, Satan asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. So what did you tell him, Lord? Obviously, you told him no. He said, I said, okay, but I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you are converted, when you are restored, strengthen your brothers and sisters. Do you know the prayers of Jesus don't fail? And Jesus, if you belong to him, he's interceding for you. His prayers do not fail. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. There is a sense here where we're also being given this picture, I think. I like to think of it this way because I remember when I did sports at school. How many here were ever in the relay race? Relay race, you know, they had to pass you the baton, didn't they? And you were waiting, weren't you, for that baton to be passed to you. And then when you got the baton, you ran. It's exactly the same with the church in this generation. I'll tell you why. Because we are always one generation away from extinction. We can't rely on the apostles of 2,000 years ago. We can't rely on the reformers of 500 years ago. We can't rely on the revivalists or the Pentecostal pioneers of 100 years ago, because they're gone. They're in the stands now. They're not in the race anymore. It's about what we do with the baton we've received. That baton was passed right back to the Old Testament patriarchs, to the fulfillment of Jesus as the Messiah, to the apostles, and from generation to generation to generation. And God says, now the baton has been passed to you in this generation. I have no grandchildren, I only have children. You are always one generation away from extinction. Will you run with the baton that's been placed in your hand? Don't drop the baton. See, we have a cloud of witnesses, but sometimes there's a cloud of demons as well. And the cloud of demons want us to give up. The cloud of demons want us to quit. They want to intimidate, so we drop the baton. They want the circumstances of life to come down on us, and the pressures and the stresses of life to come down upon us so much that we just feel we can't run this race anymore. And I'm saying we need to come away from those voices, and we need to come back to the cloud of witnesses. We need to come back to the cloud of God's glory, to the voice of Jesus who's already gone before us, who's at the finishing line. You know that all the witnesses are in the stands, but Jesus is at the finishing line. So when you look to him, you finish the race. You know, before Paul went to be with the Lord, he understood this. He said, I've finished my race. I have kept the faith. And so, in light of all that truth, what is the exhortation? What is the encouragement to me and to you? The encouragement to me and to you is not to give up. The encouragement to me and to you is to endure. Twice in this passage it says, let us run with endurance the race set before us. It goes on to say, when Jesus went to the cross, it says he endured the cross. And we're called to follow in his example. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, just in the next verse, in fact, in verse 3, it says, consider the example of the Lord Jesus. It says here, he endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Remember that. Remember his example, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And I'm preaching this morning because I saw a spirit of weariness and discouragement seeking to come upon the spirit of people here and upon the spirit of this church. But I also saw the wind of God's power coming in to give us that lifting above discouragement and above weariness. I remember talking to a guy once who was doing a marathon, and he said, I've not done the full marathon yet. I've not the 26-mile marathon. I've done the half marathon. I said, why haven't you done the 26-mile marathon yet? He said, because of the wall. I said, what wall is that? He said, well, halfway through a marathon, you hit something called the wall. How many hit a wall in your life? How many know what it is to hit a wall? Where you feel stuck. Where you feel hemmed in, where you feel you can't break through, where you feel there's no way out of your current predicament and your current problems. Just as in the natural there is a wall, so in the spiritual there is a wall. And one of two things happen when you hit the wall. People quit because they just can't go on anymore, or they just push through the pain and they carry on. And when they push through the pain and they get through that wall, they get something called the second wind. How many want the second wind? What does it say on the day of Pentecost? There came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. I want that second wind. Because I'm not called to just break through the wall. My Bible says I can jump over the wall. David said, by my God, I can jump over it. And you know, many of you are at that point where you want to quit. But if you just hang in that little bit more, that little inch more, that little centimeter more, you will break through. That second wind will come and God will propel you and launch you into something like you've never known before in Jesus' name. I said it's a sprint. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. We feel that pressure now, do we not? We're wanting to move into our new building. We just want to get on with it. And yet we're holding in. And God is saying, just hold in, because you're going over the wall. Amen. You're going to break through the wall. Remember, he is Baal Perazim, David said, the God of the breakthrough. God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. You know, you can have all the talent in the world, but without endurance and discipline, nothing holds itself together. Discipline, endurance is the bridge between dreams and reality. It's the bridge between goals and accomplishments. You can have someone with phenomenal talent and they will go to their grave with that talent. You know, they said one of the worst things to die with is potential. Simply because they weren't prepared to pay the price. And there are two types of regret in this life. There is the regret and pain of, or should I say, there's one regret, there's two types of pain and an ultimate regret. There's the pain of discipline and there's the pain of regret. The pain of discipline weighs ounces. The pain of regret weighs tons. Do you follow me? When we pay the price, that discipline doesn't bind us, it frees us to be the men and women that God has called us to be. And so the encouragement here, just further on in the chapter, after it talks about not becoming weary and discouraged in your souls, it says this, paralleling a quote, I believe, from the book of the prophet Isaiah in verse 12 and 13 of chapter 12. It says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down. Spiritually speaking, are your hands hanging down this morning? God wants to lift up your hand. He is the glory and the lifter of your head. Amen. And the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that which is dislocated may be healed. You may be injured. You may have tripped up. You may have wanted to leave the race. But the scripture says, lift up your hands, the hands which hang down, and strengthen the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your race so that you won't be dislocated, remain dislocated, but rather you will be healed. And I believe the wind of the Spirit wants to touch our life in a fresh way this morning to provide a restoration of spiritual vitality to our lives. Amen. Not in our own strength, but in His power. Pastor John was mentioning about our conversation before the service today. When I stood in that new building just last week, in fact, just this week, sorry, there was a sense of what we are coming into will be like nothing we've never known before. And that, in a metaphorical sense, God's taking us up to a new level. And that's fantastic. But you know, there's a phrase that says, new levels, new devils. One of two things happens to a football team when they get promoted to the league above them. They either survive or they get tanked. God doesn't want us to get tanked. You know, I used to live in Chorley in Lancashire. They just got promoted from the Northern Premiership to the National League. And they've gone and lost all their games and 19 goals in 7 matches. And they're right at the bottom struggling. They've been hit by the new level, new devil situation. Those of you playing video games, you know? Remember the old Pac-Man games? Anyone remember that? And get faster every level, you know? It's okay when you're coasting. But as you move to a new level of challenge, you need a new level of anointing. You need a new level of strength. You may have dealt with a devil at the town level, but not at the city level, not at the national level, not at the continental level, not at the international level. And we need the anointing to match the battle. That's why when you break through for God in your life in a new way, don't be surprised if you come under spiritual attack. And also don't be surprised if the circumstances of that attack don't make sense in terms of the way you're feeling. Elijah stood on Mount Carmel. And I remember when I first read that story and I'm thinking, here is this man of God standing on a mountaintop. He calls down fire from heaven. And after that, he exposes 850 false prophets, false servants of Satan, does away with them in one of the most ostentatious, audacious, powerful demonstrations of the power of God that's ever been seen on planet Earth. And then the next day, he's asking God to take his life. What do you think's going on there? Behind the scenes, what's going on? You can't just say it was because Jezebel threatened him. Well, if Jezebel threatened him at a natural level, I would have just said, come here, Jezebel, fire. Okay, dealt with. 850 prophets, I called down the fire. Do you think I'm going to run from Jezebel now? But behind Jezebel was a new level devil. And that new level devil caused such a depression and exasperation in the life of Elijah that he said, God, I can't go on anymore. Only I'm left. And God had to come to him and say, Elijah, don't give up on your race. You are still surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. There are many prophets who've still not bowed the knee to Baal. And Satan's strategy is to intimidate. Satan's strategy is to isolate. Even many of you experiencing this in your places of work and you're feeling by yourself. And God says, remember, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And you remember that Elijah had a little race after that, didn't he? Do you remember what he did? At least his successor did. He outrun a chariot. You say, well, that's good for Elisha. Not for me, no? Let me read to you Jeremiah chapter 12. You thought you were going to get away with it. It says, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 25. If racing against men has made you tired, how will you race against horses? And if you stumble and fall in open ground, what will you do in the thicket near the Jordan? God's saying, you're getting tired at this level, and now I'm taking you from the championship to the premiership. I'm taking you from the lightweight to the heavyweight. I'm taking you from the local to the national and the international. I'm taking you from the prophetic to the apostolic. Yes? And you have to rise up to that. Not in your own strength, but allow God to clothe you with his power. We need the wind of his spirit. Amen? And so God says, and you know, God is compassionate. He knows the struggles we face in our life and the difficulties we're going through. But he says, you know, life is funny. Sometimes it takes a big problem to actually realize the problems you were worrying about actually were nothing to worry about in the first place. Yeah? Sometimes that's what it takes to wake us up. Because we worry about things that really, you know, I think it was, I heard one guy said, he said, I've worried about so many things in my life. He said, most of them never happened. Worry doesn't give us victory over the problems today. It doesn't give us, it drains us of the energy that we need. This is the weight that so easily entangles us. And God's saying, when you rise to this new level, the things that used to bother you before, the things that you'd be difficult to you before will seem as nothing. I remember as a young child when I was going into junior school and they took us to the class and In the junior class, there were the books there, you know? And I remember looking in the book and thinking, oh no, this is difficult, I can't read that. Okay? How many of you know I can read that now? It's not a problem. Okay? But when the first time I went in there from infant to junior, I remember opening that little book and thinking, I can't read that. Or maybe the first time you went to the gym and saw those machines and think, I could never lift that. But 6 months later, you're hitting those 100 kilos. Amen? Yeah. Pastor John's hitting the kilos. Amen. I think it was Emerson, the philosopher Emerson said, it's not that what we do becomes different, but it's rather that the capacity to do the thing that was once hard becomes easy. Not because the task changes, but our capacity to do the task changes. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And so it's time to shake off the discouragement. It's time to shake off those things that will be as nothing. Amen. Zerubbabel was worrying about all stuff like that. And God said, that mountain that you see before you shall be as nothing. It shall become flat ground. For it is not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so, previously we have been seeking to race with men. And we have been in open ground. And there's been a struggle. But God is now taking us into the arena of the thickets by the Jordan. And he's taking us into the arena where we're called to cause giants to leave our promised land. And he's called us to the area where we're called to run with horses. And we need that new level in our hearts, that new unction in our hearts to move forward. Amen. And so I believe the Holy Spirit told me this morning to make a call out to myself and to others here that there were three categories of people here. That we're in one of these three categories. The first was, some of you have been racing, have been running the race and running it well, but a tiredness has come upon you. And I'm not talking about a physical tiredness. I'm not talking about a tiredness that sleep takes away. This is a spiritual tiredness. And for some of you, there is a demonic element to what's come against you, through no fault of your own. I'm not saying that. And God is saying to you this morning, he wants to bring you the second wind. He wants to bring you the second wind. The second call this morning was to people who've tripped up, maybe recently, maybe in the past. You're carrying the guilt of that trip. You're carrying the guilt of so-called failure. Failure's overrated. Success is found on the far side of failure. Did you know that? It's not how you fall, it's how you get up that matters. It's not the falling, it's the staying down that's the problem. Paul says, struck down but not destroyed. And God wants you to stand up and run again and run stronger and not feel, you know, this isn't snakes and ladders. Just because you've had a fall, it doesn't mean God puts you right at the beginning of the race again. Your race is what you've ran, and you may have tripped over, you may have fallen, but the Holy Spirit wants to pick you up, amen? Do you remember when Peter denied Jesus 3 times? Jesus didn't come to him after that failure, after that denial, and say, well, Peter, I had great plans for you. I'd wanted you to preach the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. I wanted you to be one of the foundational apostles. I wanted you to write letters in the New Testament that would go for generations into the new covenant community. But you know what, Peter? You denied me, and therefore I'm going to let someone else do it. He didn't say that. All he was concerned with, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Our relationship with God will always transcend and be more important than any of our failures. Amen? Because God's not surprised at our failures. When he called you, he factored our stupidity into that calling. Amen. He done a risk assessment. He knows already that we're dust. He remembers that we're like sheep. Go easy on yourself. Love yourself. Be kind to yourself. Okay? We're not supermen and superwomen. We're not great men and women of God. We're just men and women with a great God. We are human. Allow yourself to be human. Some of you, the anointing is blocked in your life because you try to be something you're not. You have this view of what a Christian is. And sometimes that even leads us to look down on others. And it's a dangerous place to be because we say to ourselves, well, a true Christian should be this. And the problem with that is we never match up to it. Or you might match up for it for a couple of days, but eventually you'll blow it. Just be yourself. When you pray to God, I'm not saying to pray reverently, but don't put on the King James English. Oh, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, hearest thou the prayer of thy loving kindness and servant of... God's like, what the heck? Be yourself, because God won't anoint a counterfeit of you. He will anoint you with all your weaknesses, with all your indiscretions, with all your insecurities and all your failures. Paul understood this. He said, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I will boast in my weaknesses and my infirmities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. For when I'm weak, the power of Christ rests upon me. When Paul spoke to the Lord about his struggles, whatever that thorn in the flesh was, Jesus could say, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We live in an upside down kingdom. Emptiness leads to fullness. Amen. When you're poor in spirit, when you're empty of yourself, God fills you with more. When you're humble, God raises you up. When you seek to raise yourself up, God takes you down. It's the opposite. Jesus himself gave us the example, who came from the highest heaven down to the earth and allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. But it says God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. So you may have fallen. You may have fallen yesterday. You may be still cowering under the failures of days and weeks and years ago. But God is saying, get up. Amen? Get up. It's not how you fall. It's how you rise. If you don't believe that, look at the genealogy of Jesus. The people in the genealogy of Jesus did some crazy stuff. David's in there, a murderer, an adulterer. Abraham's in there, a liar. Rahab's in there, a prostitute. Jesus is not ashamed to call them his ancestors because they trusted him. He can deal with that. I know this is very basic, but can we remember? Can we just remember Jesus died? Because that's what we are. He knows that. And so the first is to those who are tired and need that second wind. The second is for those who've fallen. And God said to me, the third is for those who've quit and those who've left. I don't mean by that necessarily that you've completely given up on your faith or that you've rejected the Lord. I'm not saying that. But what you've done is in your heart, you've given up. Something in you. Okay, you come to church, but you're not where you... something's gone. You follow me? You've already wanted to go to be with the cloud of witnesses, like Elijah, rather than finish your race. You've already left the race and sought to go to the stands. You know, the worst people in the workplace are those who quit but don't leave. They give up in their heart. And there are many pastors and leaders who've done that. Struck a deal with the devil in their heart. Don't bother me and I won't bother you. Capitulated to that spirit of Jezebel, where in their heart they've given up. Yes, they belong to the Lord, but they're in a wilderness. They don't want to go in and conquer giants. They're allowing the circumstances to overwhelm. They've left. And God is saying, will you come back to the race? Your time is not finished. Will you come back to the race? Why are you going to the stands? Your work is not finished yet. Go, will you go and dig up your talents once again and use them for my kingdom? Those who are tired, those who have fallen, and those who've left. And to the tired, God says this morning, open your wings, for those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. I will give you that second wind. Just keep going. Throw yourself on me. Throw yourself on my grace. Remember that it's in your weakest point that you allow me to be my strongest. To those who have fallen, God says, get up. And to those who have left, God says, come back. Amen. And if that's you this morning and you hear that word speaking into your spirit, And if I've heard the Lord right this morning, I want you to stand and I want to pray for you. If you cover any of, we're going to do it all at once. If you come under any of those categories, just stand to your feet right now. Okay. I don't need to be a prophet to know more of you should be standing, because I know the Holy Spirit is speaking this morning. Yes, Father. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race He has set before us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I pray for myself and for everyone here. Those who are tired, those who've hit the wall, Lord, we ask now for the wind of Your Spirit to come and revitalize our life. Refresh us in a way that only You can. Renew us in a way that only You can. Lord, for those who have fallen, I pray, Lord God, that You will lift and break the power of condemnation off their life, that they will see that their righteousness is in You and they will stand up. They may run with a limp, but they'll run and Your power will be made perfect in them. Father, to those who have left, God calls you back right now. Go back on that decision you made in your heart. Maybe you made it consciously. Maybe you made it subconsciously. Yeah, you came to church, but you withdrew. You stopped. And I'm not talking about stopping here where you have a rest. You gave up on the high call of God that you had for your life. He's saying, come back to that. Come back to run your race. Jesus is at the finishing line. He's waiting for all of us. We're not racing against each other. There's no race against each other here. The only person we're fighting is ourselves. Let us run with endurance this race. Pour out Your Spirit this morning, Father, into our lives. I command discouragement and weariness to break off our lives today. Your grace is sufficient for us, for Your power is made perfect in weakness. We bless You, Jesus. Thank You for speaking into our lives. We obey Your word. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name.